David Dennis Sr. was instrumental in the effort to desegregate parts of the South during the Civil Rights Movement, but for nearly 50 years, he rarely spoke about it, or the role that he played in the 1960s as a member of the Congress of Racial Equity, known as CORE. It wasn't until his son, journalist David Dennis Jr., started asking questions that Dad began to tell extraordinary stories of violence and brutality and resistance. And the elder Dennis says he discovered how the trauma he experienced in the movement affected his son.
So I think the most painful thing is begin to realize that the kind of pain that I brought into my home, my family, you know, and I really didn't get all that, you know, writing this book and raising a lot of questions and things and beginning to have caused me to have to address things and see things that I had totally wiped out of my head.
David Dennis Jr. and Sr. have written The Movement Made Us, A Father, A Son, and The Legacy of a Freedom Ride. Here and Now's Tanya Mosley spoke with both of them.
I started off our conversation with father and son, talking about what it was like for Dennis Sr., now 82 years old, to be confronted with his mortality in his early 20s, while fighting for the right to vote and have access to public accommodations.
To be honest with you, the thought really didn't cross my mind too many times around whether or not you're making a choice between life and death. It's sort of like something just kept driving you. You did what needed to be done. So the threats were just became like a way of life to a large extent. And I guess one of your ways of surviving with each other was, you know, you joked about it. And you did not give it that much of an attention because you really spent a lot of time trying to reflect on it or think about it. I think it would have really caused you not to want to be able to do what you did.
David Jr., you grew up hearing these episodic tales about your father. But were you aware before writing this book of some of the brutality that he and others in the movement endured?
I had known sort of in broad strokes what they had gone through. But I didn't know the exact details of what happened at those times, especially because I grew up hearing these stories and they were just sort of told in this sort of playing the dozen sort of format with this comedic, you know, sort of hint to it of like these guys and these men and women who had survived and were telling these survival tales with laughter, right? And it wasn't until I talked to Dad and got to really, really detail these stories that I learned that these were really sometimes gruesome, always dangerous stories that involved a lot of damage.
In the book, David Jr. likens his father's experience to a soldier fighting in a war. David Sr. had never thought about it that way before until sharing the stories with his son, including one memory of how he reacted to two CORE workers who were shaken after dealing with a near-death experience.
One time we had two of our workers coming in 1964 going into Natchez, Mississippi to get some affidavits we needed to give to the Justice Department in our challenge to the atrocities inflicted on people for trying to register to vote. And they went into Natchez, Mississippi, and the car was shot up. So they made it back into Jackson. And we had a little cafe that was right next door to the law office. And so I went in to talk to them, and my question was, did you get the affidavits? And they said, no, they were like shaken, you know. I mean, the car just had been shot up. And I, you know, said, we need those affidavits. And I told him, as soon as you get finished getting, you know, eating, and you need to go back and get to those affidavits. And I walked away. Now, they're my age, right? I mean, that was as cold as you could be. You got to that point where you had to, but you were making those particular calls. Actually, it got me, my son, Davey, got me to see what that was really like is when you really describe it, you know. A lot of the stuff, like things like that, I had buried in my head, you know, that I didn't think about. So one of the things was happening during his writing of this book and his probing and all the research he was doing, he was bringing up things that caused me to begin to remember. And that was the most painful thing, I think, in terms of writing this book, begin to realize what had happened to me as a human being as a result of being a part of the movement.
What was the hardest part of talking about those memories with your son?
Well, I think the hardest part was beginning to realize what pain that I had brought into the house and to him as part of his life. You know, you might say there were two Dave Dennises walking around. You know, there was one that had a feeling and stuff like this, and there's another one that was struggling for a different type of survival that I didn't understand. See, I didn't understand this whole thing about PTSD, you know, and so what I began to realize, the fact is that I really had a pretty bad case of it, you know, for many years coming through them as a result of what happened there. You know, you had death, you had beatings, you had, you know, all these things. I don't remember during that period of time of ever having a vacation from 1961 through 1965. I don't remember that. I don't remember having any kind of a real vacation. You know, so you had little short breaks, a day here, a few hours there, but there was always something happening where you got that late night phone call and you knew what that was going to be about is. And it was many years after I got out of the movement is that I could hear a pin drop. I mean, anything would wake me up. I didn't really sleep, so I took power naps all the time. And so sleeping was a different kind of a thing to me. So the point is, I forgot what it was.
Yes. David Jr., in the book, interspersed between your father's experiences are letters directly from you to your father, and they span across your relationship. And you express your feelings about his work and the sacrifices and lessons that you learned by watching him. Can I have you read from the first letter to your dad in the book?
Sometimes we curse ourselves by measuring our worth in the fight by how much trauma we endure. I do this too, Dad, as you know. I hear people call me an activist, and the word scalds me in a way that feels cold until the burning starts. I recoil and cower within my own insecurities. The word feels like sacrilege because I so often compare my pain to yours. You're the activist, the person who had to deliver eulogies to his friends and who was handcuffed and jailed and beaten and scarred and has nightmares and funerals and demons and our family.
As I mentioned, your dad's stories are told as a narrative. Your parts are written as letters directly to him. Why was it important to have these letters in the book?
Well, it was important because, you know, I think that people often confine the movement to these time periods and don't understand how these things live on, good and bad. I mean, they live the legacy of what these folks did in the 60s was so integral to shaping this country, shaping our lives, and what they dealt with and endured is so integral to the way that their children were raised and their grandchildren were raised and the generational impact of a war that was waged against them in their early 20s. And how do you continue to live your life and raise children and have families?
And thinking about your relationship with each other, how David Jr., you grew up with a dad who was purpose-driven and the impact that had on your life. You have a son now. You want your kids to know that they are the center of your life. Is it possible to hold both identities, to be a man of the movement, an activist, and also a father and the person that others need you to be?
I think so, and that's something that I learned through the book, and that is that, you know, loving your family, loving your children is movement work. You know, otherwise there would not be so much, you know, concerted effort to destroy those family units. So I think that was one of the big things I learned is that what, you know, the struggles that so many families have coming out of the movement is intentional. Like there was not just one aim of destroying Black folks in the 60s. I mean, you know, they shot Medgar Evers in front of his home and he could no longer raise his children. Like there are people who were taken away who can no longer do what my dad and I were able to do with this book, which was a healing process, and what we can do moving forward with our own children. So yeah, the family work and the movement work is one and the same. And I learned that as opposed to thinking that they're sort of diametrically opposed to each other.
David Dennis Jr. and David Dennis Sr., authors of The Movement Made Us, Thank you both for taking the time and for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Always good to talk to you.
It's great. It's my pleasure.